late afternoon. You're welcome to On Point. I'm Don Allen with my co-host in Studio A, Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, as always, how are you today?
I can't complain, Mr. Allen, here from Studio A, looking at kind of an overcast. Well, not overcast. It's cloudy with sunshine. Could be a little rain. Not sure. But the weather is very nice. The humidity is starting to disappear. We've been like other parts of the country. We've had this humidity and heat for a month, month and a half, not as bad as Texas.
Yes.
The plains where they're finally getting some relief. But it's a nice day here in the Twin Cities. A lot of things happening, a lot of power blocks on the move, a lot of things in place, according to press releases and et cetera, on behalf of the community, if you will. Very quickly on the international scene, Britain taking a response action to the five nights and days of rioting there in London, Manchester, Birmingham, and et cetera. Some, like Rush Limbaugh and others, trying to say that they were people who looked like Barack Obama. That was Rush Limbaugh's statement. The only problem was they weren't. At least three-fourths of the 1,600 that had been arrested and taken to custody are white Brits, if you will. I'm not quite sure why Rush Limbaugh, Riley, and others of the far right would attempt to sell that message, if you will. But editorial yesterday, by the way, Don, in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, indicating the need for preparation and preparedness for possible disturbances here in Minneapolis, in the Twin Cities, part of the social upheaval. I don't know what they'll call it. I imagine they'll come up with a name. The rage of fall, or, you know, the new rage of spring, depending on when it comes. But there's a certain tension. But on the other hand, leadership indicating that everything is under control. Keith Ellison, Congressman, 5th Congressional District, yesterday indicates additional new leadership on the move, if you will, meeting and dealing with the problems confronting the communities of color. So everything seems to be under control here in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, if you say so. You know, we're nearing close, Mr. Edwards, to the end of the construction season here. And I was just wondering, you know, where are those jobs that everyone was talking about? We haven't seen,
now,
you know,
for
now. Which
jobs are those? Because we hear a lot of scenarios that talk in terms of a lot of jobs.
Yeah, and that would be jobs for adults, 18 plus, not the $7.25 job for the youth, where some of them worked under 2 weeks and a lot of them did not get their checks yet. But the jobs that maybe lead into careers and to live the American dream here that have been promised so often.
Apprenticeship jobs, things like organizations like OIC provides,
yes.
Right? OIC trains craftsmen, artisans, and et cetera, who build the future of a nation. Is that what you're talking about?
That's exactly what I'm talking about, Mr. Edwards.
Okay. We're talking $25, $30, $40, $50 an hour career kind of development things. Okay. You know, Don, I don't know to your question. I'm really not in a position to say that I do. That's for the power block, if you will, for the leadership. I know that the African-American Leadership Alliance was in conference today or this morning at UROC, if you will. Thursday we had a celebration of the jobs that have been acquired by young African-Americans, 14 to 19. And those are some of the ones that you're talking about, haven't gotten their checks yet?
Yes, sir, exactly. And I did, at that event on Thursday at the Minneapolis Urban League, I did talk to several youth who were at the point of frustration, but, you know, they were on the clock, so they have to be there for this, what I call, it's a sad commentary, you know, for our youth, the Dog and Pony Show, and to use them in that way. But, yeah, it was very interesting to talk to a couple of them off the record and kind of candidly where they said, hey, you know, I didn't start work till August 1st, and I don't get my last check, and they start school the last week of August.
Don, that for, you know, transparency and, you know, some say that we black bloggers are negative and et cetera. You misspoke. You meant July 11th, didn't you?
No. I meant some of them didn't start till August 1st.
I couldn't be.
I mean,
I was in a meeting with powerful leaders And they clearly said July 11th, and then the remaining 80 turned out to be 81 because they say that they employed 151 youth of color, African Americans. So you must have misspoke, Don.
No,
these
no, no.
Started working July 11th, didn't they?
Well, that's what they said in a meeting, but, I mean, I am talking to the individuals that signed their name on the dotted line, and these are youth that maybe they have no reason, they don't know what my agenda was, and I was just asking them, hey, when did you start working? They said August 1st. I said,
well,
oh, okay, and then.
These are youth that came out of Emerge and the Urban League and organizations like that?
Emerge, the Urban League, some of them, I think the youth that have been working the longest, like early July, the majority of them are between the Neighborhood Hub and some of them are Emerge. But one interesting thing to note, Mr. Edwards, you know, this was, they're going to give 150 youth, we sat in the meeting, they're going to give 150 youth that weren't working jobs. So I was under the impression that there were going to be 150 new jobs created for new youth that didn't have jobs to come in. But what I come to find out is that some of these youth worked last year, the year before, and they were transferred from one program to another program to kind of fatten up the numbers.
I'm just totally confused, I mean, to the extent, because I have here in front of me a document certified and authorized by the committee, And it in fact, it's entitled, it's dated August the 10th, and it says NCRT, that's the Northside Community Response Team, Workforce Development Committee. They have a Workforce Development Committee. They have Adult Workforce Development Update. The woman who's involved with the Minneapolis Foundation indicated there are jointly training 50 interested Northside job seekers, and placed 20. They said they placed 20 adults at site, and then the next would have been the juveniles. So at least 171 individuals have been placed on the job. This is a document certified by the powerful NCRT committee, being certified by what is her name, Karen Kelly Alawala, Vice President, Community Philanthropic. I'm just absolutely confused.
Yeah, I mean, I'm set back too. I don't understand what, you know, my role is or my listening role is at this point, because I'm hearing too many mixed stories and messages being sent, and I'm just wondering what these people are actually doing and if they're trying to really pull the wool over the community's eyes. Because, you know, at this point, Mr. Edwards, there is no message from the Northside Community Response Team as it pertains to what they're doing for storm victims or tornado victims, or what the progress has been tornado.
Well, no, I have to correct this. We want to be transparent because, again, at the meeting of the powerful NCRT, we were given a handout. In fact, we're to have, in the tradition of the ecumenical, we're to have a celebration of success at the Metrodome here in Minneapolis, the home of the beloved Minnesota Vikings, on the 20th, if you will. We're having a big celebration in announce and respect of the success, if you will. Entitled "We Care, Come Celebrate with Us." We Care, a powerful group. The HHH Metrodome, Saturday, August 20th, 2011, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. So there must be success after success story.
No, I don't think that's the case because, excuse me, we know for year to date or storm to date that tornado victims have not received one penny of assistance as far as green pieces of paper in their hand.
I have to debate with you, my friend, on the right. And that is here on the left is that I sat in meetings. I know there were circumstances in which you weren't able to be there, but I was in a meeting. I heard a chairman Lewis King enunciate success, if you will, including workforce, adult workforce. So this report that I'm reviewing, submitted by Scott Gray of the powerful Urban League of Minneapolis, And I've been present when they've talked about these successes, people being employed. And what was said was that information being put out by some of us in the media, if you will, was incorrect, and that's the reason that the powerful NRCT or whatever NCRT is going to be bringing in a professional communications team so that the message is better enunciated and delivered. Not bright enough to understand what's being said. Maybe that's what it is.
I think it is.
We don't want to thank anybody, Don, that we're closing out anybody from having a free discussion within the parameters of civility.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Mr. Edwards. And also, I would like to say we have some people tuning in, Mr. Edwards, that is from Denver, Colorado. And they happened to be in town in Minneapolis and dined at a black establishment in North Minneapolis. Had breakfast this morning and assured me that they would tune in, and it looks like they're tuning in. And I just want to explain to them on May 22nd, North Minneapolis was hit with one of the most catastrophic tornadoes, events of Mother Nature, that has been hit with in a long time. But before Mother Nature came, there was a storm in North Minneapolis. It was a violent economic storm. There was lack of opportunities. There is still corruption and denial for a class and race of people to live the American dream or the Minnesota dream, whatever that is defined at today. And so I just wanted to give them a little background, because now there's a group that's formed called the Northside Community Response Team, which is a group of 20 or so, 25, 30 organizations that have come to the table to fan their wallets. To try to assist the victims. And as of this date,
is this the group? Are you still there? Is this the group that issued a structural design and flow chart on the 25th of May of 2011, indicating all the committees with the exception of the mental health committee that would be put in place and who would head those committees? Are those the groups that you're talking about, Mr. Allen? Seems like we've lost a little contact there. Well, we'll get Mr. Allen back at some point. But we have here a document which indicates that the actual design of the committee was actually put in place. Are you back, Mr. Allen? I guess he's not. We've lost him. That this was put in place on the 25th of May, actually, a beautiful outline of the committees, who would control the committees, and et cetera. So I guess I'm a little bit puzzled. Some way or another, we apologize. We have apparently lost communication. I assume we are still alive. I'm not even sure if we are. Mr. Allen, is that you with us? Are you back? Well, we're having all kinds of technical problems. I can hear James Brown on the air.
Until we you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Talk Radio's On Point. A little technical difficulty there. Mr. Edwards, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm back. Apparently we had some kind of technical difficulty. That currently certainly will happen. We were just talking in terms of some of the actions of the NCRT committee. And, in fact, I was just asking you to make sure that we post the number. You said you had some people from Denver, Colorado were listening in, and you were trying to enlighten them a little bit. So why don't we also give them that number in case they want to call in and get back on track.
That's great. The call-in number is 877-572-4288. Again, that number is 877-572-4288. And if you'd like to phone line, I'll open.
Yeah, okay. So, so we got the jobs thing and et cetera, about at least 171 people now. Scott Gray saying in his report that 20 individuals have been hired and placed on Northside projects. The committee is hopeful that the funds can be leveraged to support $5,000 per participant for training and placement. Well, that's
wow.
Great. Wow, that's great. That's the report that was handed out. Now, Don, I have to tell you, you know also, and they kind of forgot to announce this to the group per se, but you know that the RCTB is now involved in crime fighting.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah, and we think it's just important to put that out for our listening audience across the country and across the international boundaries. What has happened is that actually at that Thursday meeting that was held where I think a lot of people thought it was for the kids, you know, to talk about them getting the jobs, the real purpose was to announce the creation of a new federal crime-fighting entity called CSI under the auspices of Alfred Flowers, Dr. Alfred Flowers, Mr. Flowers, and his organization have put together an entity called the Community Standards Initiative, CSI. In fact, they will be meeting in closed session on Tuesday here somewhere in Minneapolis. They're awaiting the arrival of representatives of Homeland Security and et cetera. Yeah,
we have a caller, too, by the way.
Oh, let's get the caller. That's always important. Let's get the caller.
Yes. You're live on the air. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hello.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good.
Oh, it sounds like Billy Bob. Buddy, what's happening from down there in Chattanooga? Partner, what's up?
Oh, well, we're just hanging low here.
Okay, well, long as you ain't hanging nobody. But what can we do for you? What's your question?
Yeah, well, is it true that United States Congressman Ellison made a declaration out of his office that Mr. Flowers is outstanding star in the community?
Yes. On a radio station here, a local urban contemporary station, Congressman Ellison, Democrat 5th Congressional District, was being interviewed, and he was talking about the events that Mr. Allen and I are talking about the previous day, Thursday, which was also the occasion to introduce the crime-fighting initiative. And, yes, he indicated that one of the bright up-and-coming new leaders of the African-American community was one Alfred Flowers. Yes, he did, sir.
Yeah, can you elaborate more on this crime scene investigation? Is that what it's called, CSI?
No, CSI is actually Community Standards Initiative.
Oh, okay,
and
yeah.
It will set the standards for conduct, starting with young people, if you will. It is a proposal submitted by Mr. Flowers. and it talks in terms of expectations. A television station here, Channel 11, one of the four major white stations, announced last night that the group had been created. Some of their funding is coming through the Minneapolis Public Schools. The committee will be working in the Minneapolis Public Schools and working with children of color, if you will. I assume that there were others in community. It talks about mobilization and et cetera, but the key component is being able to deal with the problems on the streets of Minneapolis. I assume they will expand to St. Paul. And one of the targets will be certainly the Somali community, given their problems over there. And so they'll be moving into schools and working with Somali youngsters and et cetera. Yes, sir.
Yeah, well, it sounds like it's like a spinoff group from United for Peace.
Well, I I really don't want to go there, sir, you know, given what happened with United for Peace and the Jerry Hoff murder. That was a police officer gunned down, assassinated by individuals that later identified with United for Peace. I'll stay away from there. Maybe there's someone, Mr. Allen, maybe there's someone in the listening audience that can call in and give us an update on this proposal. But we do have the proposal in hand, sir, to our caller, submitted and prepared and authored by Alfred Flowers, a longtime community activist, a man who has clearly indicated he receives no remuneration, compensation, et cetera, for his tireless efforts and hard work. And I think, sir, that's what the congressman was talking about.
Mr. Allen, I think you guys need to find a great candidate to run against this Ellison guy on the Republican side.
Mr. Allen, are you there? I mean, we seem to be having some technical. Are you with us, Don? Okay, we still have you. Are you with us, Billy Bob?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Well, here's the thing. Mr. Flowers has identifies himself as that he received 40% of the vote in the last mayoral election. Only thing is we have a different procedure here than you have normally in the United States. And he was the third choice of 40% of the people who voted. But my thinking was that he certainly could be a very serious candidate against the incumbent, three-term incumbent Mayor R.T. Ryback in 3 years. In fact, we were just looking on U2 at a confrontation between Mr. Flowers and the mayor during the 2009 election. Mr. Flowers was making some serious, serious allegations about Mayor R.T. Ryback and his direction and lack of commitment to the African-American community. Our understanding is with this proposal, CSI, if you will, a lot of that has changed. They'll be working very closely with the established order, the mayor, chief, and others. So,
well, is there an executive director or manager or anything?
It's here, sir. It appears that it will be doing a lot of things. Also, apparently, you'll have a research director because they say they'll be doing research. And so there will be a research director, there will be a initiatives director, there will probably be an executive director, if you will. They're talking about promoting positive youth development as they did in New York State.
Yep,
okay,
exactly.
Whatever that means. There's no dollar figure here, sir, just so I can, you know, don't have you wasting your time asking me that specific question, but boy, they're going to be doing a lot of things, if you will. And as I said, they'll be having a meeting on Tuesday, according to the white media, although I think the meeting will be closed. And they will begin to get involved moving into the schools as the schools open here in the Twin Cities in the next 2 weeks.
Well, let me get this right, sir. So if I'm a tornado victim and my place was damaged and I moved, let's say, to a southern suburb or whatever, and first month, last month rents, you know, I got to come up with $3,000. Where do I go? Do I go to that group for help or what? What do I tell people?
Well, we received information. I don't know if Mr. Allen's back with us or not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, Mr.
Okay, we received information just this past Wednesday in a meeting of the Powerful Committee, which is well controlled. And you certain questions you can ask, certain questions you are not allowed to ask. But anyways, Shonda Smith Baker, the executive director of the largest social service agency in the state of Minnesota. That's an interesting question you asked, sir, because she said that they had paid $80,000 or better in room rent and motel and hotel rent for individuals. Now, I've heard statements made that people have been given money for deposit, rent, and et cetera. There's no paper documentation on that, if you will, but everything goes through what is called the core group. This is a group of 8 or 9 or 10 individuals who really manage, if you will. Let's say this is a big company, and they're the managing group, managing committee. You're aware of that, sir, down there in Chattanooga?
Yeah, sir.
You understand that equation? Let's say it was a big cotton company down there where you at, and they have a managing group, if you will, that kind of runs the big, you know, plantation corporations kind of thing. You kind of get the flavor?
Yeah, that's true. Well,
and
so
we haven't seen, many of us are not allowed to see the necessary figures, if you will, but the Minneapolis Foundation has said that they are comfortable with whatever these folks do. The group is in control now of $600,000. They've opened a bank account at the Franklin National Bank, according to what they said. Not seen any statements or deposit statements or et cetera. $600,000 is under their custody and control. And then they're expecting to pick up some additional money with this crime-fighting efforts, CSI.
Well, I want to talk about, there's a guy there. Is it Wesley Smith? I heard he gets a couple thousand dollars. Is that true?
Sir, I don't have any knowledge of personal gratuity or et cetera. I'm not a member of any of the inner circle, if you will. Just happy to still be allowed to be in the room in that respect. So I'm not sure. Mr. Allen, can you speak to Mr. Wesley Smith?
Yes, I can. Mr. Wesley Smith, this year alone, within the last school year, has gotten 183 kids dropouts back in school, but he's actually contracted with the FAR school downtown Minneapolis, the school there on Hennepin, I think it is 12th, if I'm not mistaken. The Minneapolis public schools will not give him a contract at all whatsoever. So, yeah, he does work for that school downtown as far as recruiting kids, but the majority of the kids he's recruited to our caller has mostly gone to the Minneapolis public schools because the school downtown has been full for years. So I understand
that.
Yeah,
but getting a contract from the group, what does that entail? What does that have to do with downtown, with him recruiting kids there?
Oh, I don't know. Well, I do know. He has not gotten a contract from this group to do anything up to this point. The CSI, I did post a link, Mr. Edwards, and our caller in the chat room that Community Gets Real with CSI Minneapolis, where Congressman Ellison and Al Flowers and Bernadette Johnson, superintendent, is talking about the involvement of Mr. Flowers and the public schools and the Minneapolis chapter of the NAACP. But to answer your question, year to date, I am not aware of any contracts being signed or any payments to Mr. Smith.
Right. Another question, sir, because we really don't know Mr. Smith's business. Another question.
One more. What about the small businesses in North Minneapolis? Is there, like, the economic business people? Like, is it Neon, something like that?
We have a number. We have a couple of them that sit on the powerful committee, if you will. And Neon, yes, Neon was the recipient of $235,000. They say they're doing a lot of business, but they still don't have enough money to replenish their inventory, whatever that means. It appears we're beginning to discover, I'll put it like this, but Bob, we're beginning to discover – larger number of people, even on the committee, who were damaged by the tornado. Their houses and offices, and even they were personally injured by the tornado. I mean, I was kind of surprised because, you know, back in the first week in June, I wasn't hearing that. But we're hearing that now, and so there are monies that are now being directed personally to them. See, there's two pots. Well, actually, there were three pots to draw out of. There was a pot for $206,000, which basically went to Thor Construction and then was passed on to White Contractors. And then there was a $500,000 piece, and it was separated $240,000 for the committee,
yes.
And then $260,000 for agencies, but all the agencies are members of the committee. So you're able to, I guess what you call down there, on the hog farms in Tennessee, you can kind of double dip.
Yeah, one last point, I'll let you guys go. Mr. Allen, I like how you put it there on your website, asking the mayor, I mean, do you care about jobs or you care more about bikes?
I'm glad you bring that up, Mr. Edwards. It's kind of funny because on this Thursday before, and I had talked to you, Mr. Edwards, that morning because I had rushed outside and I seen a tent being set up and a multitude of different people around the bicycles at the nice ride. So I walk over with my camera, and lo and behold, here goes State Representative Bobby Jill Champion and the mayor. So I pulled out the camera, Mr. Edwards, and I started the interview. But, you know, last question is, like, what's more important for North Minneapolis, bikes or jobs? And the mayor went in some rhetoric about Summit Academy, OIC, and training, and yeah, jobs are important, you know, but, you know, I mean, it was just rhetoric. But then again, I talked to State Representative 58B, Bobby Joe Champion, who really, I have a live on video. If you go to the Independent Business News Network, and you will laugh really hard because Mr. Champion, Representative Champion, went on to say that it's good to have the bikes here because people are healthy, and now that Comcast has opened up a headquarters in Eden Prairie, you know, people might want to take the opportunity to ride there.
Oh, yeah,
and
before their cable gets cut off, they can drive all the way down there and pay their bill in Eden Prairie, right?
Yeah.
Let me see now, the Comcast, wait, gentlemen, please. The Comcast facility in Eden Prairie is almost 35 to 40 miles from North Minneapolis. Are you guys kidding? Come on.
Oh,
buddy.
Yeah. Those are nice bikes, man. They can ride there.
It's live on video, Mr. Edwards. It's hilarious. Matter of fact, since I got you both on the phone, I'm in the other studio, Mr. Edwards, and I'm, like, racing like crazy because you actually have to hear this because it's State Representative.
You have the state representative indicating this is a golden opportunity for black people to ride all the way out to Eden Prairie to pay their bill for Comcast.
Okay, here we go.
Because I got a little something for you.
Here today, Thursday, the 11th of August, with State Representative 58B, Mr. Bobby Joe Champion. What's going on here today?
Jobs are more important than faith, or like I'm saying that jobs are more important than anything. that you have a vibrant community. So I believe the jobs are important. And so that's why I think it's important to have nice rides as an opportunity for people to be able to bike to a job, for an example. I know the Comcast, for an example, we're going to end up a new building out in Appalachian Prairie.
Sorry, everybody.
Centers around people's ability or inability to get to those jobs. So I believe, like you, that jobs are very important.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
So you heard it for yourself, live.
Yeah, so that was a great representative. Well, let me, again, so that the listening audience understands, when you talk in terms of the Comcast facility in Eden Prairie, which is a southern suburb far to the south, that's a minimum of 35 miles. And on a bicycle, you're talking in terms of probably a five-hour round trip at best. And God help you if you're trying to come up the highway doing rush hour along 35. But sir, the caller out of Chattanooga, the reason I asked you to stay with us, I wanted you to understand the exploitation of the bikes. Are you still with us, Billy Bob?
Yeah.
See, here's what happens, and the state representative and the mayor and them have forgotten to mention that. I was reviewing with others earlier this morning the policy as it pertains to the bikes. See, here's the thing, Mr. Allen, and our call out Chattanooga. What people don't understand that when, first of all, you know, you can't put cash into the machine to release the bike and take possession of it. You have to use a credit card or a debit card.
Yes.
And what happens, what people don't know, particularly in an area with such a high rate of unemployment, where I doubt, Mr. Allen, that you know, 50% of our people have credit cards or debit cards. Oh, by the way, you got to have the right kind of credit cards. Oops. You got to have, what are the big three, Discovery and the other two?
Visa
and
MasterCard.
And here's what happens. See, when you put your credit card in to rent the bike, not only does it take your $5, but it takes an automatic $50 deposit, which goes to the bank.
Yes.
And so really you're spending $55 of your money, and God help you if you don't get the bike back on time, or God help you if someone steals the bike.
Yes.
Now, what people don't understand, there's a cost, as you gentlemen know, there's a cost for the bank processing that particular transaction. Am I correct, gentlemen?
Yes, yeah, you are.
And so that's a part of a for-profit scheme that has been consummated between the city of Minneapolis and the banks that handle this. And remember, as I said, there are certain credit cards that you cannot use that will not be accepted. And in fact, in the policy statement, if you can read through it, if you will, they clearly indicate the consequence. In fact, they really tried to discourage you from using a debit card.
Yes.
Because, as you know, a debit card represents money that's already on hand. That's your money in, you know, supporting the debit card. But they want you to really use the credit card because, as you know, every time you use your credit card, there's a fee. Right, gentlemen?
Oh,
yes, there is.
Yeah. And so the state representative and others have forgot to share that with the general public. So the next, it's kind of like when you rent cars nowadays in certain metropolitan areas. Not only do they take out the cost for 5 or 6 days, they also take out really a damage deposit, in some cases as much as $500 to $1,000. So I just wanted to say about the bikes, but I can really see a 80-year-old African-American riding down to Eden Prairie to pay their Comcast bill.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. Billy Bob, I want to thank you, man. Appreciate you being on. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate
yes,
it.
Thanks
for calling, sir.
Yeah. Now, Dan, yeah, you said you called up this CSI piece.
Yeah, I put the link on for the chat room, but it's very interesting. It talks about the meeting on Tuesday, the 16th, with Mr. Flowers, and they're going to be announcing it to school kids that the program is available and that they and what some of these standards are going to be. It's very interesting, and I did post it up there, and I'm continuing to look at it in disbelief because I just don't understand how this works anymore here in Minneapolis at all. So,
well, like I said, the one thing, this document, which was circulated at the Urban League on Thursday, does not talk about, it stays away from any dollar amount. Obviously, you can't run this program without dollars, if you will. Particularly, and I'm interested in the research piece in which they're talking about. They're talking about a group, by the way, people need to take note, a group called Peace Builders, a school-wide violence prevention program, has been piloted in several locations. So I assume that this CSI is a conduit of Peace Builders.
That would make a lot of
maybe in the studio there, Mr. Allen, because you're much quicker than I am, maybe you can find on the website the organization. I suggest that you probably go to the Department of Justice, oops, or
yep.
Homeland Security. But
okay.
Peace Builders, yes. And if there are any calls, we would certainly entertain them. But this is a program in place to deal with the little children of color in the Manassas Public Schools. And as the previous caller asked, we will be having, we'll have staff and everything.
Yeah, Peace Builders, creating safe, positive learning environments. Peace Builders is a research-validated youth violence prevention program approved for the Safe and Drug-Free School Act.
The what'd you say, drug school? How do you get disqualified to not be in the program? I'm talking about being a facilitator. Oh, well, that's something for another time. go ahead. I'm sorry I cut you off, Mr. Allen. And this program is located where and who? And
This one here, let me just see what we do, who we are. Let me see where they're at here because they have a really nice website. It has a members-only website, products, and some two curriculum samples. Let's look at that. I'm just tooling around here. The Peace Builder program and its corresponding curriculum is research-validated and provides a comprehensive approach to shifting our state, our sites, shifting your site's climate to a peaceful, productive, and safe place for youth and adults. Our curriculum is available in both hard copy and binder and CD-ROM version. So they have it for young children, teens, peace mediator program for like young adult, elementary age, and beyond school.
Okay, where are they? I mean, they're out of Minneapolis, Chicago, Anchorage, Alaska, Panama City, Panama, Miami, Florida. I mean, where are they headquartered?
Long Beach, California. 741 Atlantic Avenue, Long Beach, California.
Is that right? Well, they're right out there by the National Research Institute.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I'll be doggone. So we hit on something that apparently Channel 11 and them didn't pay any attention to. Maybe this was kind of hidden within their Peace Builders.
I'm looking at it. I don't see it. I'm just seeing if there's anything in here involving Minneapolis right now while you're Studio A. I'm digging around in here. Teacher Peace Builder sites. Let's see.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if we have some geographic.
Oh, I can tell you
areas.
One place it is. Pima County, Arizona, if it will. Where it's worked with a lot of Hispanics and Native Americans, only 6% African Americans in that particular location. But Pima County, Arizona, they're working with 8 elementary schools, grade K through 5. And then there is obviously a program, as we first indicated, in the state of New York. It is entitled Promoting Positive Youth Development, some kind of program. Governor Bernanke, the former governor of New York a long time ago, George Bernanke, moved that. I remember that program. That was a real law and order program back in the days of the good governor.
Mm-hmm.
They are very much involved in a dialogue to action as prepared by Parents for Children. That's another group that is involved here. I wonder, is that a Minneapolis group, Parents for Children?
Let's just check it out. Oh, by the way,
yeah.
Peace Builders is in the state at the Minnesota State Academy for the Deaf currently in Faribault, Minnesota. I just wanted to let you know that. What did you say, Peace Builder for Children?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just look real quick.
Actually,
here.
I'm sorry. Parents for Children, Mr. Allen.
Parents for Children. For Children.
Mm-hmm. And in putting the document together, Mr. Flowers was able to quote a specific source, a Mr. Resnick or a Resnick, who was talking in terms of he was giving theoretical reflections and dynamics of youth, and the name Resnick, I think that was probably supposed to be redacted, if you will. I saw the name Resnick in a series of documents from the League of Cities in concert with Mayor R.T. Ryback's proposal to deal with the problem of youth violence in Minneapolis, if you will. And like I said before, I think that they were probably supposed to redact this. But
yeah.
Anyways, have we found the group Parents for Children?
The only thing that I'm clicking on is something from the Minnesota Department of Education.
Okay.
Which is something that we're going to have to talk about in a minute anyway. Well, it sounds like now is the best time ever. But it does not have in detail Parents for Children or Parents for Children listed at a specific site in Minneapolis. But what it looks like to me, Mr. Evers, is that a combination of political movers and shakers, Department of Education, and Minneapolis public school systems have found out a way to tap in some dollars to assist Mr. Flowers and the NAACP in getting the CSI and other things going. But the unfortunate thing is, I'm also looking here that Minnesota science assessment scores remain flat. I saw that
in our major newspaper here in Minnesota. Yeah, yeah. In fact, the Commissioner of Education indicated that there would have to be a specific effort mounted to address that and try to get those scores up. I don't know if we'll get them up by the middle of this century, but you know, science is a tough discipline, if you will, particularly when you don't have matching talent in the classroom to help train and teach and condition these young minds. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
science test score is really bad here in Minnesota.
Yeah, just terrible. The worst in the nation. I'll go as far as saying that. And also, Mr. Harris, we're waiting for the MCA 2 scores to come out at the end of September, because I just have a hunch that none of these schools in the inner city, except for Washburn and maybe Kenwood, passed the average yearly progress. Which, if that's the case,
is that right?
Yeah. If that is the case, I think that our Superintendent Johnson will be looking for another position shortly, because you know they've been Chief Minneapolis has been baking a cake for a long time, and this is the point where they'll probably just hand her the cake and ask her to keep stepping. So.
Well, this comes at a bad time, because just this past Tuesday, the Minneapolis Board of Education, who are her bosses, indicated a specific program and indicated their displeasure with the distribution of $270,000 in educational money because allegedly the staff was being underpaid and a number of people bailed out of the district. And in fact, in the story, it was in Wednesday's edition of the Minneapolis Star Tribune, for those that follow these kinds of things. And she was really kind of chastised and sanctioned by the board. And they will be passing a policy in the fall, very early fall, probably September, indicating that she no longer has the authority to make any decision on union or non-union compensation or pay increases and et cetera. That's kind of another slap in the wrist there.
Her explanation
was that she gave a $169,000 contract to a firm in Tempe, Arizona, to do a study to see if the administrative staff of the Minneapolis Public School District was underpaid.
Oh, my goodness.
And as an outgrowth of that study, she made the decision just to give $270,000 to, you know, I'm not sure who these people were as it pertains to their specific responsibilities and competency level, but the district did say that it does not expect, unfortunately, to get its money back.
No, would you give me money back if the school district could be nice enough to find out that you were underpaid and to their standards, but and give you 270. We'll give the group a collective $270,000. And I just put the link up on the chat room. It's Minneapolis School Board puts reins on raises. And
yes, that was Wednesday's edition, Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Yeah.
After the Tuesday night board meeting, Richard Mammum. In fact, Richard Mammum, longtime employee of the City Inc. back in the day, actually before the merger, later a partner in a consulting firm in Washington, D.C., with my good friend Jim Nelson, the founder of City Inc. and a couple of African Americans. I won't bother to name them. I don't want to embarrass them because people weren't supposed to know that they were working for the firm in Washington, if you will, drawing double salaries. But anyways, like I said, this crime fighting proposal. Hey, you know, gonna get things in order here on the streets of Minneapolis.
Mr. Edwards, one of the comments on that story says Bernardino Johnson should be fired immediately, and to have a district spend $165,000 to a study for a study to find out if anyone's underpaid is an insult to every taxpayer in the city. And what you have now is a school district that no one reading this would even allow their own kids to attend.
Yeah.
So very, very powerful comments on the Star Tribune website. Like I said, I did post the link onto the chat room if anybody wants to verify that. But this comes at a time, Mr. Edwards, where children of color in the Minneapolis public schools are sinking to depths in non-education or the lack of education that have never been seen before. And I would like to alert our listeners to tune in. Well, go and read the Independent Business News Network on Monday, the 15th of August, where the story is going to be up. The Minnesota Department of Education Commissioner Brenda Casillas needs to surround herself with credible black people to address the miseducation of Minnesota's Negro children. And it's a hard-hitting piece, but someone has to do it.
Let me also say this. At the event Thursday that was being identified as an activity and an appreciation for the hard work of the young people, one of the things I was puzzled by, and I just have to, and we have certainly more than enough time left. See, when I came in, Mr. Allen, and I saw you and others of the Fourth Estate, I noticed that there was a beautiful brochure laying on the table, and it was entitled, and that's what puzzled me because I thought that this event was to thank the children, and it said CSI Minneapolis, and it talked about it. And right from the get-go, it talked in terms of how it was controlling the agenda.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you have a copy, but it indicated itinerary. Press conference and luncheon, if you will. Press conference was from 11 to 12, if you will. Started out by greetings from Scott Gray and then Mr. Flowers, the program organizer. Lisa Jones, a community member, but she's not a community member. She was the former head of the African American Family Services and left there under a cloud of controversy. And then the Honorable U.S. Representative Keith Ellison and then Representative Jeff Hayden, Bernardino Johnson, and then Louis King, President, and Major Louis King, United States Army, and then a representative of the NAACP, and et cetera. And so this did not – was this – I mean, I'm answering kind of my own rhetorical question. I mean, this was not about the youngsters. This was about announcing this new program.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I mean, I'm just trying to get, and I see that one of the themes was renewing our values, setting our standards. What I have to ask you, Mr. Allen, a young man, what does that mean?
You know what, I can't figure that out either, because renewing our standards of respect as far as it pertains to the children, I mean, it's just more rhetoric. It's another program created that the liberal educational system here can just pass some money through. I don't see nothing more coming out of it than that, Mr. Edwards. I really don't.
Well, But, you know, I just have to kind of probe this a little bit because I've been hearing a lot of that. I see so many names there. I listened closely to the interview with Congressman Keith Ellison yesterday on a local radio station, who, by the way, was one of the sponsors and is one of the sponsors of the CSI undertaking, if you will. And he was talking in terms that what we must understand, he being Representative Ellison, is that we can no longer hold people or should hold people responsible of some misdeed or misstep that may have happened sometime in the past, if you will. In fact, he used the numerical reference of 10 years ago or 5 years ago and et cetera.
Wow.
So that means that if I'm involved in some kind of activity which violates the criminal codes of this nation, that we just at some point somebody makes a decision that all is forgotten and well. I mean, I know that in some places legally it's called redacting, if you will, of the crime and et cetera, giving you a pardon. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're into some walking papers.
Okay. So that's what we mean when we talk in terms of renewing our values and setting our standards. Now, what does standards mean? I mean, what does that mean? Does that mean, like, pay your bills, meet your obligations, take care of your kids, take care of your family, keep a job, things like that?
Yeah, you know. I guess that's what they're trying to say. I mean, I don't understand because, like, there's no communication. There's no really a whole lot of information put out but what you hear from these people. But, again, getting back to your original point, Mr. Edwards, this was not really about the children on Thursday. This was about the
CSI.
The program. Yeah, CSI.
Okay.
So I'm
all right.
We'll certainly,
I assume, be able to talk more intelligently a week from now of after the meeting of the powerful group of making the announcements, being joined by Superintendent Bernier Johnson and the programs and the activities and the principals. And I say principals, I'm talking about persons, will be moving into the schools, operating within the schools. A really kind of counseling and nurturing the little young children of the Dallas Public School District.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Okay. Well, anything else? Well, give the number again. Again, we thought maybe we'd have a couple calls or something. Well, what's the number again there, Mr. Allen?
That number is 877-572-4288. Again, that number is 877-572-4288. The phone lines are open. We ask you to give us a call. And Mr. Edwards, moving on here, I'm a little bit disturbed by an article that I read in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder about the U of N, give us our broadband access.
An issue you raised almost a year ago, Mr. Allen.
Yes, I did.
Write the article. Oh, the article wasn't written by you. I'm sorry.
No, the article was actually said guest commentator, Mr. Alfred Flowers. Again, he comes up. And I looked in the article, and a lot of the points in the article was points that I brought up a year ago and then about a month ago after Channel 5 did their investigation. And, of course, that article talked about the investigation that Channel 5 did by Jay Coles. He did an investigative report where he actually went to the broadcast.
Oh, that's right, because one of the things I found interesting in the article, normally when you talk about investigative report like that, you name the investigative reporter. That wasn't in the article. Do you think they knew who the investigative reporter was?
No, I don't even think they knew who the investigative reporter
was.
Okay,
yeah, Jay Coles. Okay.
It was Jay Coles. And one of the things was I had to respond to that to the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder because what they don't understand, the title alone of the story that they had is supposed to be recorded by Mr. Alfred Flowers, supposedly, says U of M, comma, where's our broadband internet access? Now, this speaks volume to lack of knowledge of what the author has about what closing the digital divide is truly about. Internet access is not an entitlement like welfare, food stamps, or EBT card. And broadband access is not something that the U of M or any man, woman, or child on earth can give away. The internet access is a tool for learning that each individual is going to have to seek out for themselves. And it was clear by the article and the paragraphs that I read and read again and then read again that the individuals offering this particular missive did not clearly understand what the broadband technology opportunity program was or what points to make. My main point, Mr. Edwards, with the whole broadband technology opportunity program is that a group, the Minnesota Minority Media Coalition, which is led by Al McFarlane and Nee of the Asian American Press, received over $200,000 to promote it. But
well, that's in the article. Isn't that in the article?
Yeah, that's the piece that I was looking at from the media point of view.
No, no, but I'm saying, isn't that in this article that
yes,
we're talking
is,
about
yes,
by Mr. Flowers?
Yes, it is. It looks like it's lifted right out of the article that I wrote, actually.
Oh, okay.
And
now, by the way, I have to ask you this question, Jersey. At the end of the article, are you given reference? Are you identified as a source?
No, I am not. Not at all. Actually,
are we getting a little close to plagiarizing now?
We're right there. Actually, Mr. Edwards, too, on your $200,000 to MMMC is not in the story.
That's what I'm saying. That's the question I was asking. I wondered why Mr. McFarlane was left out.
Yeah, and he was left out of here. And you could tell I've never really heard Al write anything about a village. But I do hear she referenced here to Miss Lissa Jones, and it's very, very interesting that, you know, this story is crossing paths because this is not the foundation or the origin of what happened with the University of Minnesota Business Community and the Office of Business for Business Community and Economic Development. This is not really what the situation was. And so with that said, I'm looking at the article, I'm like, wow, you know, they really did a little plagiarizing, and not only did they plagiarize, they missed the point altogether. And it's like,
well, what was the genesis for the timing? Because J. Cole did the article way back, I mean, he did the investigative broadcast, if I'm not mistaken, way back in March. You were writing about this a year ago. Is there some value here for this article to appear now? Is there something we need to know, be alerted to, or what? Or, I mean, you're not the author of this particular piece, but, I mean, just give me your best journalistic guess.
Yeah, well, I think this is what I call a comprehensive extortion, because the second from the last paragraph says, we are calling on the leadership of UROC Executive Director Heidi Burrows and her colleague, our own Dr. Robert Jones, to partner with us to spread the message about the access and broadband internet for our young geniuses in the making. We remain ever hopeful, Dr. Burrows and Dr. Jones, that we can work together and straighten a road that looks a little crooked right now. And that's the last paragraph of the story. So it'd be pretty interesting to find out the reaction to this when I actually
Is this the same group of people that wanted to partner with Louisiana Chicken? And they're saying that the business was not owned and controlled by an African-American? In fact, I know of a African-American female activist in the community who said that her mama went with the white man that actually was backing Mr. Moselle Harris, which I thought was rather disconcerting, if you will. I was fascinated about that because the woman's mama rents from the white man. I mean, I'm listening to these kinds of things, and now I'm hearing, but I'm just trying to get a feel on what, I mean, the word I guess I would use is that, is there a probative value here?
No, not at all. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, like you just said, I was privileged to read the letter from Louisiana Fried Chicken in North Minneapolis where he asked Mr. Flowers to cease and desist, telling people that Louisiana Chicken was owned by a white man and he was just a front guy. Okay,
I heard that. In fact, the owner and controlling partner of Louisiana Chicken, Mr. Harris, in fact, he approached at Juneteenth and told that he needed to meet and do some things to keep the pressure off of him or something like that. Because I know that, you know, they're out there trying to make that kind of attack on you. I mean,
yeah.
I'm just fascinated by that. But I guess there's some probative value to the article. in the Minnesota Spoken Recorder. I imagine we'll get some kind of fix on that. What else we got going on? I mean, things are really, you know, moving very positive. I mean that's what I'm being told, that it's important that we reflect on and et cetera. Any other positive things out there that we should be speaking to on behalf of the leadership?
I'm just looking around also, you know, to try to see what's going on. It just seems like there's a lot of fails, as I say it on my blog, especially with the Northside community response team. I mean, there was huge controversy earlier in the week, Mr. Edwards, when the young man that was getting $4,500 was turning around and trying to sue on behalf of the Northside community response team that felt that he wasn't getting a fair shake and his events were canceled and everything just kind of went to hell around him. And so there was a barrage of emails that went back and forth. There was a phone call with Louis King and myself where, I just said, hey, you know, the gentleman they approved $4,500 to, no one's ever seen him before in their lives. And they have you, Mr. Edwards, they have me, they have Pete Rhodes, they have Tracy as the spokesman, they have even Al McFarland and others that have been in the community for years that do media and communications, but yet they give an unknown guy $4,500 to do what?
That'll have to be answered by those that were involved. I mean, I know there were a series of meetings that, I mean, some of you were in attendance. Did anybody ever find out when the young man in question was appointed as communications director? Was that designation withdrawn by Mr. King?
That has never come
Chairman
to fruition.
King, sorry, Chairman King. Chairman King.
Chairman King, yeah. That has never came to fruition or to when that was put on point. But, you know, neither was that, you know, when they put into effect Robert's Rules of Order in that Northside community response team, at some point, something like that with that much money, okay, $4,500, I mean, Louis King thinks that's mosquito money and he'll flot it and swat it, it's nothing, but that's a lot of money. And to give someone $4,500 to plan events 10 miles away from North Minneapolis at the Mall of America, and we know right now as a fact, those of us that are in professional media, that the demographics that hang out at the Mall of America don't really care about the black folks in North Minneapolis. Secondly, there's 5,000 families, an estimated 12,000 individuals missing from North Minneapolis. So what's the point of the fundraiser? Who is the headliner going to be for the fundraiser? What is the incentive for anyone to come out to the Mall of America for an event or a fundraiser for the people of North Minneapolis? There's absolutely nothing. We know already, Mr. Edwards, of several concerts, about 8 concerts that happened since the tornado. 2 of them, the first 2 was profitable. The first 2 put a little money out on the streets to individual victims. But the other 6 barely broke even.
Mm-hmm.
And so to have a fundraiser, I mean, you can have a fundraiser, but it has to be strategically planned, implemented with your media partners locally and nationally, and done in steps or phases, as we say in the business.
But let me ask this question, though, again, to transparent. The event on the 20th was initially going to be a fundraiser because initially they were talking about bringing in Prince, who was not available, and then they were going to bring in Justin Bieber, who was not available. He's made a tremendous commitment to the Somali famine situation. So what is the purpose of the event on the 20th at the Metrodome? I mean, do we know what that is?
The purpose of the event is to celebrate the volunteers and the Northside and the We Care group and the Northside community response team. From on the outside looking in, it seems like, again, the victims, I simply wrote, when will the victims be celebrated? I mean, when will the victims get some kind of residual appreciation and payment and assistance for what they went through? Why are we making this into a dog and pony show pomp and circumstance?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
You know, that's our role here. I really thought we'd be getting some calls and challenges, if you will. I have to ask this question rhetorically, if you will, Mr. Allen, and that is the following, because I was present. Of course, you had been asked to leave, if you will, but I was present when Chairman King emphatically indicated that no money had been spent, not a single penny, and et cetera, and the $600,000 is still in the hands of Bruce Bork and the council, Minneapolis Council of Churches, and et cetera. Let me ask you this question. Who fronted and paid for the event Thursday?
I do not know at this point. I understand that there was rumors. I can't say I do not know. I can say that there was whispering campaign going on that Emerge, the Urban League, and the Minneapolis Public Schools put money in for the event. And the money consists of the catering for the event that was downstairs in that hot basement of the Minneapolis Urban League. So that was
all
kind
right,
of
but interesting. You had brochures and et cetera. Okay. Somebody had, Louisiana Chicken. I was amazed that, they would contract with Louisiana Chicken, a front company, according to some of the key organizers. We just talked about that. I was kind of surprised that, Louisiana Chicken would be asked to do that, and it was a front company. But you had the food and et cetera. But you have these nice brochures and pamphlets and et cetera, and I imagine there may have been some honorariums for some of the speakers and et cetera. But my key question was, who paid for the food? Who paid for all of their incidentals that required payment, if you will? Because Chairman King has emphatically indicated, and we have no reason, do we, to doubt the authenticity of his declaration, that not a single penny of the $600,000 has been spent. In fact, it appears, a question asked by the caller out of Tennessee, how much money has been paid on behalf of the victims for accommodations, like hotel rooms and things like that. And as I said, Shonda Smith-Baker indicated that the community center known as United Pillsbury United has paid over $80,000. So they are looking for a reimbursement of $80,000 out of the $600,000 fund. Am I correct?
That's what they seem to be baiting for. But the thing is, Mr. Edwards, there's three main agencies. There's Jordan, the neighborhood hub. There is Emerge, and there is the Pillsbury United Community. Out of that $240,000, that first round that went to the core group, basically, they're supposed to take whatever 39 times 3 is, and divide that among those three groups. So that would be, I'm going to be on my calculator here, $117, but that's to pay for navigators.
No, $117,000, you mean. You said $117,000,
right? $117,000, yes, and that's to pay for the navigators. But also the thing is that some of the agencies are looking for reimbursement for what they've already paid navigators. And so with that said, there's a group of navigators currently in training. At this point, I have no idea. I know in the state of Minnesota, if you're in training, you're supposed to get whatever salary or hourly wage they offered you during the training.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So there are people getting paid, but then again, I always go back to the original. Oh, we have a call, Mr. Edwards.
Oh, let's get the call.
We'll have a call.
Mm-hmm. Good afternoon.
Hi, you're live on me. Yes, good afternoon. Sorry about the wait there, sir.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
Okay.
I'm probably going to get a little off topic here, and maybe go another route that I've called in before, and I haven't been able to. And I'm the only way I'm able to listen to your program is by calling in. I've been trying to listen, and I've done a little digging, but I've been trying to listen to your program for the last 3 weeks, my wife and I both.
Okay.
I'm in.
And where are you calling from, sir? I mean, here in the Twin Cities?
No, I'm actually calling from the West Coast, Los Angeles.
Oh, that's right. You've called before. I kind of recognize your voice. Sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what has happened is I've come to a couple of conclusions. I'm not able to find your website, and I basically work in IT. So I see what has happened to your website, and I just want to make you aware of some things, is mm-hmm. that I truly believe that you gentlemen are trying to be silenced. You're trying to be silenced. I'm not sure from who. But what has happened is I cannot find your site. My wife actually was able to find your site by just clicking on things last week. And I was only able to listen to the last 8 minutes, or no, I'm sorry, 11 minutes of the show.
Okay.
So what I did was I did a little digging into why I was able to see it about a month ago. And a month ago, maybe even a little less than that, less time frame than that. And now I'm not able to find it. And what I found...
You're not able to find this program?
Exactly. So let me take you through the steps really quick. And I'm so sorry I'm taking you off topic, but this is a show that I love to hear, and I haven't been able to hear it in a few weeks. So when I Google, and of course I use the two major search engines, which I use is Google and Mozilla, Firefox. And going through all of those, I see that you have, and I'm going to get behind why this is happening. I see you have Minneapolis Public Schools, Minneapolis Hennepin County. You have about 6 different sites that you can go through, okay? And what's happened is, and I'll tell you how I know this, and I'll tell you another instance where it's not happening because I did research. Your player is embedded, meaning that you have to hover over something and watch a hand pop up. First, it looks like an arrow, and when you hover mm-hmm. on something, it looks like a hand. Now, your uh-huh. average person is not going to hover over something that looks like that. So your player is embedded. Let me tell you how I know. I've done some research on you, Mr. Edwards, and you have another show called Black Focus 2.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Your player is prominently displayed. If anyone who is listening or who can listen, I should say, if you type in www.blackfocus2.com and the numeral Black Focus 2, you'll have about 3 different sites. But all of them, the player is prominently displayed. Okay, let me go back. There are 2 reasons that the player is going to be embedded. One is... somebody just doesn't want your program to be found, okay? Whoever your webmaster is now is in control of this. Now, your webmaster, whoever that is in control of this. Now, two.
Let me finish.
So the other thing that happens is a lot of people don't know this, but when I'm searching for your site and I click on Minneapolis Public Schools, Independent News Network, blah, 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 mm-hmm. I get 99 cents for every time I click on your site. Now, if I go within your site and I start clicking on different news, different things that redirect me to another site that it says, or anywhere in there it could say IBNN. Somebody's mm-hmm. getting paid, and it's through Google Analytics. Google analyzes everything that you do on a computer, and anybody mm-hmm. can see those analytics. So mm-hmm. one of two things are happening. Somebody's getting paid to redirect and redirect and redirect and redirect. I did it 6-7 times because I love listening to the show. My wife did it on her laptop a few different times. So I'm not sure how, but it's very hard. It's a very convoluted site. My wife just brought me into the room because she was able to bring it up. So what's happening is it's convoluted on how you get to your website. So I just wanted you gentlemen to know that. I'm so sorry I took you off topic, but it's something that you really need to look into, because the other thing that I've noticed is you haven't had as many calls. When I first started listening to your program, I noticed the number of callers, and they were quite a few. And I noticed when I was able to listen to it a few weeks ago, and I was actually in Toronto, and I wanted to call up the station. And I just wasn't able to listen to it. So I just wanted to make you gentlemen aware of that really you should look at it, because if you look at the two different webmasters that are on Black Focus and that's on this, it's mm-hmm. it's really done right on the other side. So
okay.
why it's
all
not
right. well,
done that way here.
All right. Well, we appreciate that call. Of course, that's okay. certainly an in-house technical discussion. But
yeah,
I'm
sorry to bring
I
that
have
out.
No idea.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, if you've taken the time, do you have any specific question that you may want to?
Well, you know, the other question I did want to bring up is, it was funny, I was watching CNN, and actually it's called CBC, and I was in Montreal last weekend. And what happened was they were talking about the riots in London. And I noticed they interviewed a Caucasian woman and a couple of Caucasian people. And before they knew the identity of the rioters, if you will,
right. They
used words like "virile rats," and "these people are like virile rats," and "these people are disgusting. This is the lowest of life form." But I noticed the tone had changed when they found out that it was a school teacher, a straight-A student, a ballerina, a social worker. You know, now they're just common. They're criminals, and they need to be brought to
thuggery.
Justice.
Thuggery, I think. Is
thuggery,
the word
exactly.
Too.
Thuggery was
yeah,
the word.
Carl, let me say in defense of us here at On Point, we talked about that right at the top, and I pointed out that Rush Limbaugh had used some of that same terminology and et cetera, and he identified the rioters as Obama lookalike.
Oh, boy,
And I found that to be so outrageous. In fact, a number of websites in Great Britain at this hour are carrying that, as well as some in the United States. But Rush Limbaugh, Don, identified the rioters. Now, I've been able to make some contact early this morning with certain stringers that I have at my beckoning call, and they indicate that 77% of those that have been arrested, 1,600 have been arrested and rounded up by the Metropolitan Police Departments of London, Birmingham, Manchester, Leeds in England,
are
white Brits, if you will. And
yeah,
so,
exactly.
Well, I appreciate you asking us that question, and I
yeah.
think we'll probably talk about it a little bit more. Thank you, caller from, you said the West Coast?
That's right. Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you.
You gentlemen, take care.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh said that the rioters were Obama-like lookalikes.
Wow, that's deep. I just wanted to tell that caller also, Mr. Edwards, if he Googles On Point, Ronald H. Edwards and Don Allen, the show comes up prominent on both Firefox and Internet Explorer.
Okay.
And so it does work well.
All right, well, probably help him with that. Okay, anything, any other calls? I thought maybe we would get, because, see, I'm hearing a lot of feedback, a bounce back, if you will, about the fact that this program and others need to be taken on and confronted and et cetera, which, I know what the word means. I don't know what it means coming from some of the people that I'm hearing making those expressions, confront us about what, if you will.
Yeah.
But I just think it's always healthy, because I heard the congressman yesterday on the Urban Contemporary Station say that one of the things we have to do is to dialogue and be civil in our dialogue and et cetera. And I think, I got to tell you, Don, I think that's just great. You know what I mean? And I wish that we could have that as example. I would have thought that we'd have had more detail inside of the RCT, if you will, about the CSI program and dealing with criminal behavior and et cetera. Would you have thought we would have had more of an opportunity to have had dialogue, particularly in it appears that the Tornado Group footed the bill for the event purchase?
Yeah, it would have been really nice to hear what was really going on and where the money was coming from and who was spending what on there. But we're not privileged to that kind of information. That is held high at the courtroom. And another thing I'd like to say about that, Mr. Edwards, I was not in the room, but I heard that my name was announced in doing communication. It's really funny because I have not seen one proposal that they're talking about with my name on it, but yet there was a gentleman last week that had this thing on that said there was a proposal by me for $4,000 on it. And I wasn't privileged to see that, which makes me think that someone is routing some money through and under false pretenses. But, you know, what's done in the dark will come to the light. So we will see.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll definitely see.
Absolutely. What I had always hoped, and I'd always said this to my friend, my longtime friend, Chairman King, that one of the things that I had hoped would ultimately come into play would be an audit committee, you know. It would have been so good if they would have set that in place when they were putting the structure together. And I repeat that. Maybe we'll have a little bit more dialogue next week on where the actual structure that appeared at 3:30 p.m. Central Standard Daylight Time on the 25th of May, where that actually came from. You know, it had the committees. It had the names in the committee. Because here's the thing. See, my recollection, Mr. Allen, and probably the minute and a half we have left in this program, see, my recollection was that on the 27th of May, when the committee first met there at the Urban League, that Sandra Samuels, the wife of our beloved city councilman, was the chairwoman of the communications committee.
Yeah.
And I always wondered when and how that changed.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Do you remember? I don't know. Did you remember when that discussion took place?
Yeah, I was there. I heard him say that Sandra Samuels. As a matter of fact, in the very beginning, Sandra Samuels emailed me information to post on my blog. And
that's what I thought I remembered.
Yeah, and I said, you know what? In light of being helpful, I said I will go ahead and post this. You know, I didn't send them an invoice. I just posted it, and they were happy with it, and then all of a sudden, the whole thing kind of just changed and kind of burnt from between them, under their legs, basically. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what happened with that or how that went, but, you know, Ms. Harris, we have about 2 minutes left, and I know you'll be on Black Focus 2 tomorrow, which is easy to find on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, we're going to take a look at the CSI piece, if you will, and we think that that's so important. That we know that there's a new crime-fighting effort, and we're really going to be taking a look at that, and we're going to be taking a look at the battle that the president is in. I, you know, we should really apologize because I thought we were going to be able to get into the job situation. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Remember jobs in America?
Yeah, jobs. Where? So point it out.
Yeah, and, you know, I wanted to really kind of get us into a dialogue, move us in that direction to take a look at the plan. You know, last week, I don't want people to think that we're senile. You know, last week we asked if we could hear from the Council on Black Minnesotans and other powerful dynamic forces, and I have to ask you this question. Did you receive any feedback?
I received nothing from anybody in the Council of Black Minnesotans. They continue to duck and dodge and so, I mean, I guess we'll let them do what they do best, is kind of duck under a rock.
Well, I've got another proposal. I'm not going to address it over the air because we don't want any roadblocks and tampering. But I've got a proposal. I think there's something that, and we'll be able to announce it next week. I'll call you off air. All right, then.
We'll be back tomorrow.
Okay.
With 1 minute left, don't forget to tune in. If you live in Minneapolis proper, tune in to Channel 17, Minneapolis Television Network. For Mr. Edwards, Black Focus television show, Channel 17 at 5 p.m. in Minneapolis, a cable network through Comcast. If you have a Comcast, you'll be able to pick up Minneapolis Television Network. And read Mr. Edwards' column in the Spokesman Recorder coming out this Tuesday and every Tuesday in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. And as always, don't forget to read the Independent Business News Network and the new little brother blog called Black Politics in Minneapolis. We'd like to thank everybody for listening today and have a great weekend.
Weekend. Take care.
What's left of it here?